It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot up, bomb, man!
Here's Carmichael Dave.
By the way, we're good about that, apparently.
Are we now?
Yeah, that was tough. I always like continuing off-air conversations on air. It's great for the audience. But I had to tell Jay that.
You still haven't let me in on what party we're both invited to, and now I'm concerned.
I'm not going to.
That's a real you-know-what move.
Just know that we will almost certainly be attending the same party here in the next month or so.
Will I have to dress up?
No. I mean, but I'd prefer it. That'd be hilarious. I should have told you it's a tuxedo-only party, and then you show up and you're lonely. That would be funny.
That wouldn't be funny. I'd actually punch you in the wiener.
Funny for me. Guys, I'm not reading your ideas for Oakland A's the musical titles. So you can just stop.
Come on, give us one.
No.
Please. What if I give you $1? What if I buy you something from the kitchen area?
You really want some of these?
Yes,
I
do.
You really want people bringing up Thelma and Louise?
Oh my gosh, that is amazing.
No, I'm not here for it. I'm standing in front of the A's and their fans.
Milk Money. It's a good title.
Bet Online.
Why would you want that as a title for the A's musical?
Has division futures out for the NBA. Oh. Broken down by division.
Kings first, 70 wins, duh.
Pacific Division. The Lakers are a pretty decent favorite to win the whole thing. Win the Pacific Division, excuse me.
Wow, shade at the Suns.
Who are second? Followed by?
Warriors.
The Warriors. Interesting. A lot of that probably has to do with the fact that Kawhi Leonard is going to play like four games.
If that.
And then surprisingly, the Sacramento Kings, the least likely team in the Pacific Division to win the whole thing.
Really? What a thunk.
Would you like to know how much you would win if you bet $1 on the Kings to win the division and they did? How about
a serious bet?
Let me make it fun. What if you put a 20 spot on the Sacramento Kings to win the Pacific Division and they won?
So I'm not a betting man, so I always get confused with the odds thing. So okay. I'll just throw a number out there and tell me if I'm in the ballpark.
Uh-huh.
So for $20.
Yeah.
And I say the Kings win, the payout would be $10,000.
Okay, that's way too high.
I told you, I don't understand how that works. I don't bet. I legitimately don't bet.
You would win $1,600 if you bet $20.
I was close.
Yeah.
That's one digit off.
Right. Well, let me do your banking then. The Miami Heat are the favorite to win the Southeast Division, followed by the Atlanta Hawks and the Charlotte Hornets. The Mavs are the favorite to win the Southwest ahead of the Grizzlies and the Pelicans.
That division sucks.
Yeah, it kind of does.
The Pacific's really good, and then the Southwest is just...
The Jazz are the favorites slightly over the Nuggets and Blazers to win the Northwest.
That's a really good division.
You know, interesting enough, the Kings are an 80-1 favorite to win the Pacific Division. Whereas the Minnesota Timberwolves, with the Jazz, Nuggets, and Blazers in their division, are 33-1 favorites.
Timberwolves have a better roster than the Kings, and I don't think people want to admit that. They were just really hurt last year, had COVID issues.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw at the end of the year last year in Minnesota when they got that roster healthy, they were pretty good.
Whereas if you bet $1 on the Kings to win the Pacific and they did, you'd win $80. You have to bet $10 on the Milwaukee Bucks to win the Central Division to win $1. Yeah, they are huge favorites, followed by the Bulls, Pacers, Cavs, and then Pistons way back. The Atlantic Division is where it is at. The Toronto Raptors are 16-1. 16-1 to win that division, and they have the worst odds. The Brooklyn Nets, you have to bet $2 to win one. The Philadelphia 76ers, if you bet $4, you would win $11. The Celtics bet $4, you'll win $17. The Knicks bet $2, you'll win $15. And then the Raptors, you bet a dollar, you win. That is going to be an interesting division this year. But I'm a little surprised. I understand the Sixers, Celtics, Knicks, and Raptors, but aren't the Brooklyn Nets the runaway favorites?
To win the division or the title?
To win the division.
They should be. I think right now they're the favorite to win the title, so they should be the runaway favorite to win their division.
From the 801, how's this for a title? Cowbells and Cash Considerations, a Sacramento Kings musical.
I like that.
I don't want to get into what a Sacramento Kings musical title would be.
There's some positive ones we could come up with, there? I'm sure. Yes.
Here We Stayed. Now, if you want to make a musical simply about relocation, that actually could be done.
That would be an interesting one.
Oh, my God.
Oh, here's your new idea. Oh, boy. This is the part where he starts to get on the phone after the show, actually during the show, with his famous friends and his rich friends. He pitches these ideas.
Come on.
When Dave quits KCK to direct the Kings relocation musical, remember, this show was the genesis of it.
Let me tell you something. And I'm gonna get you on board with four words.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Mike Barenbaum, City Council. Hello.
It's a little insidey, but
hello.
People will enjoy it. It'll be a big part of the musical.
I can guarantee you Mike Barenbaum's character would have something that would bring the house down.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he would steal the show, and it's not particularly close.
The show.
Maybe one of these days on a slow day, we can cast this musical on air.
Like the Crown Downtown's the chorus, then whoever's the actor playing Mike Tavares wearing the army hat.
Okay, but all right, so let's cast it real quick, just this part of it. Who are the Maloofs?
Who are the Maloofs?
Who plays the Maloofs?
Like what actors?
Yes.
This is gonna turn into a thing.
I know. This is your fault.
Who would be the characters in the Kings relocation musical?
Joe, Gavin.
And who would play Joe, Gavin, and George?
George. So who can? So George is obviously the villain in the whole
thing.
Yeah,
and honestly, I don't know why I'm thinking this, but if he were still alive, and God, I wish he was, Alan Rickman would be a fantastic George Miller.
Alan Rickman, you know who I say, just because kind of a similar look to a degree, Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman is another one who has passed who would be, he would be a wonderful George Maloof.
I feel like Crispin Glover.
Is Crispin Glover even doing anything?
He can do the Kings relocation musical.
Trying to think. Would you do Jim Carrey and...
Jim Carrey would be good.
Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels is...
Joe and Gavin. There it is. Jim Carrey, Jeff Daniels, Crispin Glover make up the Maloof brothers.
You'd have to cast David Stern, the late, great David Stern. That's going to be the whole half hour. I don't want to do that.
Anyways, baseball, rule changes.
Thank you. So 20 big leaguers were polled by ESPN. They were asked many things, and most of them, a lot of them went on the record, okay? Question one is either, and first I'm going to ask the question. I want your answer. I want y'all to play along at home. I'm going to answer as well, and then let's see what the players said. Is either the pace or length of games in baseball a problem?
Survey says it is.
It is.
My survey.
I disagree. Now, how do you think this was voted? 20 people, 20 players.
20 players voted that it's not a problem. The majority, I will say.
9 voted that it is a problem. 11 voted that it was not a problem. So you're pretty darn close. The average length of the game this season is 3 hours and 9 minutes. That's up from 9 minutes just 3 years ago. Even people like Joe Maddon, the Angels manager, said when they're at home watching a game instead of participating in it, a lengthy game could be tedious. So that's a tough question because they're in these games.
Sure.
They're not long. They flashes before your eyes when you're in it. 3 hours and 9 minutes is not bad for a baseball game.
It's not great, though. It's not ideal.
I don't know how much more you do to really... Some pitchers are slower than others. Some batters are slower than others.
Well, again, it's a game-by-game thing, right? Because you have sometimes where a team is just mashing and it's just, you know, they get up 8-0 in the third.
Right.
It's going to make the game go longer. Guys are getting into their bullpen. I don't know. I have always felt 9 innings is too long. I love 7. I think 7 is perfect, but again, good luck getting that ever to happen.
But we it doesn't seem that we ever get, for example, on football. The average NFL football game is 3 hours and 12 minutes. The average time the ball is actually in play, take a guess, 3 hours and 12 minutes, full game. How many minutes on average is the game actually, or is the ball actually in play?
30.
11. 11 minutes. But we don't ever get on football. I mean, sometimes maybe the replays take a little bit long.
Yeah, but again, pace of play determines that.
Sure, but do you find yourself sitting around saying, oh, these football games are way too long?
No.
Again, no, I don't either.
Again, pace of play determines that. What you're watching determines whether or not something is too long. Baseball is, again, very slow and tedious. Football is not.
Whereas baseball is almost exactly the same length. In fact, it's a little bit shorter by about 7 minutes. And the ball is in play in baseball for 18 minutes. Almost double. Now, basketball is obviously different. The ball is always in play.
I just want to make sure. You're not trying to make an argument here that the baseball, like, you're just presenting these as facts?
I'm presenting these as facts because
okay.
They are. And I'm saying I find it interesting that we never talk about, you know, basketball, again, doesn't count because the ball is almost always in play.
Sure.
We focus so much on baseball, but not on football. And I think a lot of it's because there's a clock.
Well, there's a clock, number one. And again, the clock dictates the pace of play. Football is moving the entire time, where baseball is standing the entire time. There's a huge difference there.
But you're still talking about lack of play time.
You're
talking about moving the chains. They might be huddling, blah,
but
blah,
again,
blah.
But again, it has to do with the pace of play.
See,
like you said, the clock.
I hear what you're saying, and maybe this is just a, you know, do you like cilantro or not opinion. I'm focused on, I mean, listen, when I look at what's going on in a game, it's the actual plays that count to me. The pitch, the hit, the run, the throw, the catch, the tackle.
Let me ask you this. Let's put it in these terms here. What are you more likely to be engaged with a fan? The first half of a baseball game, so the first 4.5 innings, or the first first half of a football game? What are you as a fan going to be? Take everything out real quick. What are you more engaged with?
I'm going to put a big asterisk on this. 1,000,000,000% I'm more engaged in the first half of a football game. Asterisk. There are 17 football games and there are 162 baseball games. Now, I would say this to you, Jay. If baseball was a 16 or 17 game season followed by the playoffs, in which a bunch of teams make it, and then a one-off World Series, and if every single playoff game was a one-off, if we switched baseball and we made baseball exactly the length as football and you had the World Series as one game, everything else is the same, we wouldn't have a problem anymore with game length. That, to me, your question, my answer has a lot more to do with in the NFL that every single play, every single quarter, and every single game means 500 times more than baseball.
Okay, so let's try to find something a little more comparable then. Let's go with basketball.
Okay.
Just for sake of argument again, are you more likely to be engaged in the first half of a Kings game or the first half of a Giants game?
I am far more likely to be engaged the first half of a Kings game, asterisk. Number one, there are almost exactly half the amount of NBA games as there are baseball games. So again, we're talking about a truncated season that means more, number one. Number two, I know your point, and I'm not trying to be argumentative.
No, it's fine.
But also with basketball, as I said earlier, there's always, it's not a matter of, in baseball and football, it's dead time with sprinkles of action. In the NBA, it's all action with sprinkles of dead time. Timeouts, take the ball out, free throws.
I would argue the dead time is in football, though, is not the same as the dead time in baseball.
I'm not indifferent to that.
So let me, because you brought up the length of season, which is actually a fair argument. I agree. So last year, when it was a truncated 60-game season.
With the exception of COVID, no fans. See, here's the problem. You had COVID. You had horrible things going on in the world. We still do. You had no fans or very few fans. Everybody was scared to death. Sports across the board were down.
Yeah, but we're talking about you as a sports fan watching TV.
I'm saying for me, one of
the 60 games.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. One of the most compelling seasons we've had just from a gameplay standpoint. Everybody knew there's an asterisk on the season. We understood that.
Oh, you're just saying because the Dodgers
No. And that should 100% count because everybody had to deal with the same thing, and the Dodgers were the best at dealing with the same thing. I don't believe in that. I just mean it was a different season than all the other seasons we're used to. That's the asterisk. But if you came out this year or next year and you had that same truncated baseball season, I'd be very curious to see the experiment, whereas they're going to lose, and this is why it'll never happen.
Well, I mean, here's, and just not to cut you off, but part of the experiment you can always look at is ratings. Baseball's ratings were up in its truncated season.
Were they? I thought they were down.
No, on the RSNs. Like,
I gotcha.
Both the A's and the Giants, because I had to do some research on this, they both doubled their television numbers from the year before.
Games meant more. Games meant more. And I honestly think because sports as a whole were down quite a bit, a lot of people just didn't, you know, you'd think they would look for the escape. A lot of people just didn't have time. They weren't interested in it. They were
Well, I think part of what helped baseball, too, was it was still played during a time that it's usually played versus where, you know, the NBA played deep into the summer, which was not normal for the average fan, whereas baseball was still playing during its normal time. So to put a bow on this particular question, I think where we've kind of agreed to is, so for you, it's not really the length of the game and the pace of playing baseball. It's just the length of the season is what really kills
it. I think it's the length of the season, and that's probably an unsolvable problem. You're never going to get owners to to lower the, you know, the amount of ticket stubs they're whirling around. You're never going to get owners to agree to being able to show less commercials during the games, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Despite it would actually improve the overall product. But I agree with you.
It would not improve the bottom line.
That's what I mean. So I agree with you on that.
Players were asked, are analytics applied the right way in the game? What do you think?
I think they're over-applied.
Okay. What do you think? How many do you think of 20 said yes? How many do you think said no?
I think 15 said there's too much analytics.
You're close. 13 said they're not applied correctly. I don't like this question because they're not applied the right way. So are you a big fan of analytics and they're just not being applied the right way? Do you hate analytics?
I am a big fan of analytics. I think teams we saw here's a great example, right? Uh-huh. This is where analytics, you have to, and we've talked about this with the Kings and Monty McNair. You know, his philosophy is analytics and the eye test, a marriage of the two, right?
Right.
But That marriage almost has to be a 50-50 thing. You saw this last year in the World Series is Kevin Cash, manager of the Rays, played the analytics and removed Blake Snell when he was rolling.
Right.
And the Dodgers win the World Series.
Right.
I mean, and to be fair, I do believe that he played way too much of the analytics. Dave Roberts, speaking of the Dodgers and some of their playoff failures, again, went strictly analytics on some of his moves. Sure. And completely cost him and did not really factor in the human aspect of managing a baseball game.
And that's the thing. That's why I don't like the question, because it's almost a total question. Are analytics applied correctly in baseball? So what are you asking? Are you asking 100% of the time? Are you asking 90% of the time? I don't know what the qualifier is.
You think the question's too broad?
Right. Well, I do, because here's the thing. For every Dave Roberts and for every Blake Snell being removed, there are 150,000 Dusty Baker had a hunch and pulled Russ Ortiz against the Angels.
Yeah, no one likes to talk about the other side of it.
Nobody likes to talk about the other side. So we focus on analytics or hunches. I'll take analytics over hunches every day of the week, but sometimes the hunch is going to win out and sometimes the analytics are going to win out.
Isn't the hunch winning out, though, the true sign of a great manager? The one that would override
the...
Yeah, exactly. But we've seen it where, again, guys make the wrong move. Mm-hmm. There's also times, to your point, where the hunch is the correct move.
When here's the thing. The more hunches work,
There needs to be a hunch stat.
I agree. The more hunches work, the smarter the manager is.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this earlier.
It's true,
a game
though.
Of inches. Mike Budenholzer's with a new team right now. If Kevin Durant's big toe is an inch longer, so
shorter.
It's shorter. Excuse me. So did Mike Budenholzer all of a sudden improve as a coach? No. There's so much luck and happenstance involved. I'm fine with it. I think analytics are just fine in baseball. Does the game need fixing? There's a broad one for you.
Yes. 18 out of 20 said yes.
When asked more generally, players were hesitant to find problems with a game that has given them so much. Now, if you're just tuning in, ESPN polled 20 players in baseball asking different questions about the state of the game. Four players said the game needs fixing.
Really?
16.
That's surprising.
Jesse Winker of the Reds said, I know, fun name. I feel like we're always trying to fix the game. But I say if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We have a beautiful game. I grew up enjoying the game because of the way it is. I do think there's moments of truth there. I do think that baseball is the oldest sport we've got, at least of the big three. I think players are still getting paid $10, $20, $30, $40 million. I think 20, 30, 40,000 people are going to games. I think the ratings are fine. The problem is that people want baseball to be the NFL. Here, this would be a fun example. I have this conversation all the time, and I don't want to, you know, here we go with politics. Trust me, I'm trying to make a point and not be political. But a lot of times I see the headlines, Fox News. Fox News has won the ratings for cable news. They've dominated MSNBC and okay. But Fox News is the only real right-leaning station out there.
And, on a cable news standpoint, yes.
And 40, well, yeah, you've got Newsmax and OAN, but look at their numbers. It's Fox.
Fox is the one that's mass available.
And that's 45-ish percent of the country. And people are generally going to go, now let's look at who's on the left. CNN, MSNBC.
They're splitting the audience.
And then, and along with your networks, most, and studies have shown this, most right-wing or Republican viewers are going to watch Fox, and they don't trust what they consider mainstream media. And that is your regular networks along with CNN, MSNBC, et cetera. Now, let's take the left, quote, networks and combine their ratings and now put them against Fox or give Fox more competition. So the numbers,
you're applying context to ratings.
Exactly. Now, let me apply context to baseball, which is why I don't think, listen, you can tweak it. I like the man on second base in the extra innings. I like that. There are little tweaks you can make. But the problem is that people look at the ratings for basketball, or especially the ratings for football, and they go, oh, my God, baseball needs to be more like that. First off, it doesn't. The NFL can be first, and baseball can be second and third, and it's going to be just fine. It's just different. But what if we added together, all the viewers and all the ratings, share, I should say, for all regular season national games, the World Series, the playoffs, and the wild card, and we divided that by 17 or 20-something, including the Super Bowl, however many weekly NFL games there are. What would happen to those numbers if you truncated them and divided them up? I think baseball would be a lot closer to football.
Sure, but the other way to look at that, too, is baseball has been in a constant ratings decline, though, on the bigger level.
It's not up and down.
It's usually down.
Now, 2021 is not 2000. But look at a graph from 2010 to 2021. It is not a straight arc down. You've had up years and you've had down years.
Yeah,
but generally stay within this very similar.
But the overall viewership of the game is down, which shows you're not growing.
I mean, we don't have enough time, but also we're also forgetting the fact that
I agree with you.
A lot of people are streaming. You're using MLB.com.
Yes, but those numbers count.
They don't. No. Nielsen still has very big issues combining streaming and your network.
There are issues, but streaming especially.
Counts, but yeah. It's not always included in the context of the numbers. And this is a whole different
right,
argument.
Right, but again, but then the NBA and the NFL could use the same argument.
They absolutely
though.
Could. And I'm saying, why don't we make the NFL 162 games and see how their game-to-game rate? Do you think the NFL would be able to pull
I did not take you for argue baseball side guy this morning.
I'm just saying.
This is fascinating to me.
I think these arguments need context.
And sure.
And if the NFL had 162 games a year, which would be physically impossible. I'm
right,
pretty
so
sure
the context is impossible.
Those numbers would crater. Crater. And if baseball dropped their season to 17 games, all of a sudden you'd see baseball's ratings go up by about 10
so
times.
So baseball needs to be fixed, and you just fixed it. Drop it to 17 games. What
there
a week.
Here's the bottom line. You don't always know something needs fixing until somebody comes along and points out that it needs fixing. Not everybody's paying attention to that all the time. Not everybody's paying attention to what their mortgage is doing. That's where an expert like Shelby can come in. At refinancewithshelby.com. He can say, hey, listen, and don't get me wrong. Shelby may very well look at your whole situation and say, it's actually a really good rate. If you don't need cash out, you're not paying mortgage insurance, then I wouldn't touch it. Oh, he'll say that. not just going to do the loan to do the loan. But if you live in the Sacramento area, and you've had your home for longer than a year, you've got equity. And if you've got equity and you're sitting around paying high interest on credit cards, whatever. You need money for a new business, send your kid to school, you want to remodel your kitchen, I don't know. Well, put your house to work for you. Refinance with Shelby.com. I did my refi with him. It was a cash out refi. Paid off a bunch of different things. Credit score goes through the roof. Monthly payments drop by a ton. I still got equity left. You do too. And by the way, if you want to get into the equity game and you want to purchase a home, hey, it's not too late. Shelby can close purchase loans in under 17 days. Which, if you're going up against a cash offer, makes it a very even playing field. And in many cases, you're going to get the edge because the sellers would rather sell to somebody local in a lot of cases than somebody coming in over the top from the Bay Area and dropping a bunch of money. Find out for yourself. Go to refinancewithshelby.com. That's refinancewithshelby.com. NMLS number 279051. BRE number 01864354.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Final half hour of the program. We'll get to Once in a Blue Moon with Jay Mars. Also, What's on Tap, crossovers, all kinds of fun stuff. We'll do all that right after this.
The Carmichael Dave Show. Thoughtful, smart, engaging. None of these terms apply here, but he will read your snarky hate text at 916-339-1140.
Thank God.
After six foul balls, a batter should be out. I'd like that rule change. Oh, heck no.
Nah.
I understand, and I know who's texting this, and I love him to death. I understand the thought process, but, man, there's something about a batter going up there and just fighting.
Something about a great foul ball off, right?
There really is. I enjoy, and that's the thing. I think baseball's very tricky because it is a classic game. A lot of the rules are old.
Like the fan base?
Yeah, but also, there's also something so historical about baseball, and obviously baseball has a very troubled history. But I there is part of me that likes to know that although the athletes change and get better, what Mike Schmidt did is what Aaron Judge is doing, is what Carl Yastrzemski is doing, is what Randy Johnson did. You know, 60 feet, 6 inches, mm-hmm. 90 feet. But also, to counter my point, so many baseball fans make me want to puke when they talk about the traditions of the game and how important it is because baseball is a statistically based game.
Yeah.
That you don't want to mess with. You could never drop it to 154 games. You could never make this or that rule change because it's not a level playing field. It's going to destroy the consistency baseball has enjoyed throughout the years. And when they say it's not a level playing field, I want to put my pinkies in their ears and my thumbs in their eye sockets, and I want to shake them vigorously and say, stupid. Baseball is the only American major sport that literally does not have a level playing field. Imagine if the Kings went to Toronto and the basket was only 9 feet tall there, and the baseline was 10 extra feet wide. Imagine
there's these things called stadiums.
Right.
And the dimensions.
Yeah, think. So when we talk, it's literally not a level playing field. The difference between the Polo Grounds and Wrigley Field and AT&T Park and Ebbets Field all through the years.
Yeah, the fields aren't the same.
You've got players that played home games for many years that home runs down certain parts of the porch had to be like 450 feet.
Well, it's not just that. Again, when you talk about dimensions and things like outfield, for instance,
right.
Oracle Park has a thing called Triples Alley.
Right.
Not a Triples Alley at the Coliseum.
No, you used to have to run up a hill at Kauffman Stadium for Royals games.
Where was it? Minute Maid Park in Houston that had like that big...
The big crown in the back?
Yes.
It's a completely different game. You had the Cardinals, we talked about this before, where they built their entire team around their turf.
Yeah.
So basically guys like Vince Coleman knew, just swing down on the ball... Old people like me remember Vince Coleman swinging down the ball, bouncing 900 feet in the air. And by the time the poor pitcher or catcher caught it coming down off the bounce, Vince Coleman's at second base.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, in Houston, they literally invented turf. AstroTurf, you'd go there and be the one place you'd play on turf. You're trying to tell me that wasn't a huge advantage for the team that played there half the season?
So any...
Coors Field, my God.
Right. Right. Anytime you're having an argument, and by the way, I consider myself kind of a baseball purist, but I'm also a baseball realist. Anytime a baseball purist turns to you and says, it's got to be a level playing field.
And just, don't even get me started on the salary discrepancy. Right.
Well, you know, we Raleigh Fingers, old friend of the show. And one of the stories he told me once that blew me away was the summer he won the MVP. He was stocking shelves at Sears because Charlie Finley didn't want to get off his wallet. Imagine just for a quick second. Imagine sometime this December rolling into your local JCPenney, Winestocks, Mervyn's, Miller's Outpost, and, hey, can I help you? Oh, my God, you're Shohei Ohtani. Yes, I am. Would you like to check out this rack of shirts? Can you even wrap your brain around the idea of rolling into Dave and Buster's and the guy that's handing you the $200 teddy bear that's worth $10 is
Mike Trout.
Mike Trout. Or hell, I mean, any sport, really. J.J. Watt's back there handing you a bear because J.J.'s got to make the money. He's not getting paid enough.
Go to Disneyland. Anthony Rendon's there during the fall because, you know, hurt too much for the Angels, so they didn't want to pay him.
There you go. Everybody on the Angels, summers at Disney World and Disneyland. That's their off-season jobs. You've got Benji Molina working at a Bass Pro Shops to make ends meet. So get off.
Bryce Harper's an Abercrombie model.
Thanks. Now, Bryce Harper would have been rich in any.
Yeah, you're right. He's the one guy they do pay, right?
Mickey Mantle once hemorrhaged in the back of his throat. He was so sick, but still went in to sit down and negotiate with then Yankees owner George Weiss. Mickey Mantle had just come off an MVP, and I think was very close to the Triple Crown. I believe the Yankees had won the title that year, and George didn't want to give him a $10,000 raise. He finally agreed to do it. Mickey was sick as a dog and was going in to negotiate his own deal. Now you got Nerlens Noel suing Rich Paul for $58 million. By the way,
Nerlens should have negotiated your own deal.
Let's go way back now.
Don't forget we have Once in a Blue Moon.
We do. And honestly, this is going to tie into something we talked about earlier. You'll remember after we talked about Nerlens Noel suing Rich Paul. I mentioned to you that I couldn't remember the name, that there was a player who really probably should have, and I believe did sue his agent, Bill Duffy, who's, I believe is, if he's not still, one of the more powerful agents in NBA history, was the agent for Miami Heat guard Anthony Carter. Duffy told ESPN.com that a clerical error in his office led to the missed contract deadline. Here's what happened. Carter was required to notify the Heat by June 30th that he intended to invoke the player option on the final season of his original three-year, $12 million contract. When the Heat received no such notification, the NBA officially listed Carter as a free agent. Newsflash, he never got that money back. I believe he played for the league minimum the following year because his agent forgot to fax the notice to the Heat.
Whoops.
Once in a Blue Moon right now.
Once in a Blue Moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
This is not a fun one. According to ESPN Stats and Info, the Oakland A's have scored first in each of their last four games.
Yeah.
And lost all four. Oh. This is the second time over the last 20 seasons that Oakland scored first and lost in four consecutive games. The last time it happening between June 30th and July 3rd of 2016. So not that long ago.
No. No, they just got to get it together, man.
Yeah, they do.
You know?
They does.
It's just...
I agree.
It's just
good analysis.
The Orioles have lost 19 games in a row.
They suck.
It's tied for the third longest losing streak in the divisional era. The only teams with longer losing streaks than the Orioles In 1969, the Expos lost 20 in a row. And in 1988, the Orioles lost 21 in a row.
They got to break it, right? They have to break the streak. They have to do it. You're this close, right?
But then again, let me apply that same logic.
No, because I know where you're going with it. The answer is no.
Are we not rooting for the Kings to miss the playoffs?
That's different.
If you're going to go through 15 years of hell, let's own the streak.
That's different.
Oh, that's different.
Because this is an in-season thing. Playoffs is different.
This isn't really a wonderful stat. This just, we'll finish here. This comes from the line of who in the holy what you know what researched this. Yesterday, Freddie Freeman became the only reigning MVP in the last 40 years to bat in the following situation. Ninth inning, bases loaded, down a run, two outs, 3-2 count. His flyout secured an 11th straight win for the Yankees. But I just want to know who...
Someone made that up.
Like, how would you even know? Because
no one's going to go research that, so someone made it up. I'm going with that.
By the way, this isn't a stat. I know we have to break, but remember the number one prospect in baseball, the Rays, Wander Franco, making his debut earlier this year? He's reached base safely in 25 straight games. That's tied for the longest streak by a player under 21 in the expansion era. The other three, Ken Griffey Jr., Roberto Alomar, and Alex Rodriguez.
They all had decent careers.
They were okay. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
What's on tap? Crossover question. We'll ask. We'll answer. And we say goodbye for a few days as well. We're going to miss all of you. We'll do all that right after this.
Hey, let's go. Come on.
If what's on tap, here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
Vacation.
Yes, wonderful movie with Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo. What's his face? The guy from
to miss this.
What? I was picking up on what you said.
Nope, you weren't. You did not. You picked up on my words, not my vibe.
Great song from Lindsey Buckingham, formerly of Fleetwood Mac, Holiday Road.
Long ago. Whoa. I'm so glad I'm going on vacation. Oh. Jay doesn't have to see you or hear your dumb dad jokes.
Wow. That was brutal, dude.
Which part? The singing or the lyrics?
Top 10 all-time cameo, Christie Brinkley in Vacation.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Boy, little Carmichael Dave sure was a fan of that cameo.
I would imagine boys of all ages were a fan of that cameo.
You know, you want to talk about generations. It was, what was her name? Phoebe Cates in Fast Times at Ridgemont High was...
Phoebe Cates is one of the most underrated just 80s
right.
Girl next door, you name it. I love Phoebe Cates.
Christie Brinkley. That was my Phoebe Cates at that age.
Those movies come out like in the same year, didn't they? Around the same time. Same period.
I probably saw one later than the other. Also, there's a documentary on Netflix. I highly recommend. I'm about halfway through it right now. It's called Making David Geffen. The David Geffen story, if you don't know who David Geffen is,
Records.
He's one of the most amazingly successful music execs ever. Also, movies and part of really DreamWorks with Steven Spielberg, Jeffrey Katzenberg, and of course David Geffen. It's a very interesting, including the late Glenn Frey. That was rough to see. A lot of really cool.
Was the heat on?
The heat was on. The Smugglers were blue, by the way.
I thought they were gray.
What's on tap? Yes, Jay and I will be on a little mini vacation. I'll be celebrating my wife's birthday and be gone. Jay, what are you doing?
Saturday again, we're going up to Saratoga for that concert, mostly staycation.
Good for you. Those are the best kind, aren't they?
Some other stuff going on that we're going to have to tend to personally. So
I was
going to
say, if you're going to do a staycation, though, they are wonderful, as long as staycation doesn't turn into chorescation.
It's not chores. There's a family business has to be settled.
Okay, well, other business has to be settled on the baseball diamond today. Great transition, Dave. Giants-Mets 4-10, Johnny Cueto on the mound versus Taiwan Walker for the Mets.
That's a hell of a name, dude.
You know, the Mets are favored in this series, or in this game. Yeah, Taiwan Walker, I believe, former Seattle Mariner.
They better hope he's Taiwan Striker. if you're going to go there, you're going
to Giants fan, hopefully he's going to be Ty Loss Walker. Niners and Raiders this weekend.
Really?
1 p.m. Sunday.
You did that?
Hey, dude. You want crossover?
You know, this is one of those times that I would love to crossover.
Might be our last day on the air, dude.
That's fine.
Let's go.
Who is it?
What's happening on the afternoons with Jason Ross?
Who was the boss?
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
Guys, it's getaway day. That means a vacation for you, Carmichael Dave. Staycation for you, Jay. But
thanks.
We had seen this where there's a bunch of different answers for this, so I want to see what you guys answer this question. What is the first thing that you do, for both of you, when you go on vacation and you stay at a resort or a hotel, someplace like that? What is the first thing that you do?
It's a great question, and I have a answer, and it is always this way. 100% of the time, 1 trillion percent of the time, literally the first thing I do when I walk in the door, I unpack.
Really?
I unpack everything.
Interesting.
I hang everything up. I put my socks and underwear in the drawers. I my belt, my shoes, I put nicely in the... There is something to me. I am not on vacation until I have unpacked. I could be staying there for a day, and I always overpack anyways. And I will walk in the door, and I will unpack my suitcase, including putting the suitcase neatly away in the closet. Once I am officially unpacked, then I immediately hop in the shower. I'm kind of a clean freak anyways, but I wash the travel off of me, and then I put on my vacation clothes. Then I am on vacation.
You know, you are a very regimented man more than anything I've noticed.
I kind of am.
You are very regimented.
I kind of am. I'm very habitual.
My first thing I do when I walk into the hotel room, every time, no matter what, I go to the window and see what my view is. Every time. It's the first thing I do. I think it's more of just an automatic thing because I've never really consciously thought about it, but I've noticed it the last two times I've stayed somewhere. I always go and check the view. And then like you, sort of, I go to the bathroom because, you know, I spend...
Well,
because
you go to the bathroom every 5 minutes,
I need
right.
to know how comfortable I'm going to be. Yes.
I guess maybe I need to amend mine because I would have to agree with you. I guess technically the... He did say the very first thing. Mm-hmm. I do walk through the place we're staying.
See,
at.
That counts.
So if that counts, then that's what I do. And then unpack. And then, yes, I always do. But we don't.
Either way, you're still habitual, right. though.
And I don't think I've stayed in a hotel in 7 years, 8 years. I don't,
Airbnbs?
Always. Airbnb or VRBO.
We're doing a hotel this weekend strictly because the hotel was cheaper than the Airbnb.
Then there you go. I mean, honestly, usually it's opposite for me. I can find Airbnbs that once you get resort fees and parking and blah, 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 are the same price or cheaper than a hotel. And, hey, you're just, you know, you're there.
Chris in the YouTube chat saying he's surprised you haven't had bed bugs. I'm actually not because I know what kind of a clean freak you are. I would imagine if there was like one review out of 10 million that said there's bugs, you'd be nope.
Whenever we travel, I'm the travel agent. I actually thought about going into, you know, that'd be a fun side business for me because I follow all the sites. I follow all the Twitter accounts, whether it's the Points Guy, whether it's Travel Zoo. I'm always looking for and I build my time off around these places. And not to go too down the road, but generally, real quick, how much time do we have?
About 2 minutes.
Okay, I do always like bringing stuff like this to the audience. So there's a way I operate my life. I have a couple of different travel credit cards. And with the exception of my mortgage, I put everything on my credit card. Everything I possibly can put on my credit card for the month, I put on my credit card. At the end of the month, I'm very disciplined. I pay off the credit card every month. But I get the points. And I accumulate points all year long. And then I look for deals. And generally, like, you know, flying down to Puerto Vallarta, it cost me $100 for two tickets, and that's just taxes because I use points for the rest of it.
Smart move.
A lot of people don't do that, don't realize they can, but with a little bit of strategy, I highly recommend following the points guy on Twitter who can kind of give you that whole deal. All right. Crossover question for
Jason. And so can I give a hint?
You're the management. I wouldn't. But
crossover question for Jason and he who is making a return for the first time on KHDK since being let go.
That's how you're leading into this?
Mm-hmm. Okay, did I lie?
No, you didn't. But now you're doing a misdirection.
No, I am not. There is no misdirection in what I said.
I promise you.
No,
I'm not saying you're inaccurate. I'm saying it's going to be a misdirection for a lot of people.
That's on them, not
me. Because that could be multiple.
But this is a very high profile person.
Again. Anyways, please cut the beginning part of this out. Crossover question for Jason and mystery guest.
Who is by this point in the show been on for like three hours, but
Hope you had a great time. And mystery guest, who I'm not allowed to say because we haven't named you yet, but by now everybody knows who you are. Number one, you did a great job. I know this radio thing is new to you. If you ever need any advice, I'm here for you. And I also delivered you donuts one time when I was in school.
Are you calling him old?
The answer is, or you're welcome, I should say. Here's my question. You don't age. Is there a little extracurricular help going on here? Just be honest. Is there some hair dye? Is there something? Because you absolutely don't age at all. And it really kind of bothers me. Love you both. Have a good rest of your show. For Jay, I'm Dave. Enjoy National Radio for the next few days. We're back Wednesday. Love you. Be safe. Bye-bye now.